Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
We are in Acts chapter 4, right at the end of the chapter. You'll recall that there was persecution that had begun, threats that had been made, and that the people of God gathered together and rejoiced in the privilege of suffering and asked that God would give them boldness and that he would validate their ministry through miraculous signs. Now, beginning in verse 32 of chapter 4 and reading into chapter 5, this is God's word. All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of his possessions was his own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and much grace was upon them all. There were no needy persons among them, for from time to time, those who owned lands or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone as he had need. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. Now, a man named Ananias, together with his wife Sapphira, also sold a piece of property. With his wife's full knowledge, he kept back part of the money for himself, but brought the rest and put it at the apostles' feet. Then Peter said, "Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept for yourself some of the money you received from the land? Didn't it belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? What made you think of doing such a thing? You have not lied to men, but to God." When Ananias heard this, he fell down and died, and great fear seized all who heard what had happened. Then the young men came forward, wrapped up his body, and carried him out and buried him. About 3 hours later, his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. Peter asked her, "Tell me, is this the price you and Ananias got for the land?" "Yes," she said, "that is the price." Peter said to her, "How could you agree to test the Spirit of the Lord? Look, the feet of the men who buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out also." At that moment, she fell down at his feet and died. Then the young men came in and, finding her dead, carried her out and buried her beside her husband. Great fear seized the whole church and all who heard about these events. The apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders among the people, and all the believers used to meet together in Solomon's colonnade. No one else dared join them, even though they were highly regarded by the people. Nevertheless, more and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added to their number. As a result, people brought the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and mats so that at least Peter's shadow might fall on some of them as he passed by. Crowds gathered also from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing their sick and those tormented by evil spirits, and all of them were healed. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. As we've said before, in looking at what was going on in the book of Acts, God's people were not just once a week getting together for an hour. These folks were in communion with one another. And so beginning back at the end of chapter 4, we see a radical lifestyle. All the people, all the believers were one in heart and mind. Now just think about that for a moment. Those of you who've had any length of tenure in churches, or perhaps lived in a family. They were all one in heart and mind. I mean, is that remarkable? Is that miraculous? Is that supernatural? You better believe it. Out of that, because they were all one in heart and mind, no one claimed that any of his possessions was his own. But they shared everything they had. Folks, do you understand that the Word of God is very clear that this was the pattern of the New Testament church, that when it came to material stuff, they weren't in love with their material stuff. They weren't guarding their material stuff, trying to make sure. That's why in the book of Hebrews we read that they were joyfully accepting the confiscation of their property. When somebody came along and took all their stuff, instead of saying, "Hey, you can't do that," they said, "Well, I don't have to take care of that stuff anymore." Okay? Praise the Lord for the opportunity to suffer for the cause of Christ. And if the consequence is that they took some of my stuff, that means God is freeing me up for other things. Are you willing to give up what you hold dear in order for the glory of God to be revealed? You know, all of us need to live as those who are aliens and strangers here. I have a house with many bedrooms. Now, I like my house. I help design my house. I really value my house. But I hold my house like this. I can give it up today. It's not a big deal. But if we really believe it's not a big deal, then we do something else with our stuff. Okay? We don't just dust the furniture. We try to put it in use for the kingdom. And so you hopefully, if you have multiple bedrooms, you have a ministry of hospitality. And you say, sure, that person can stay with me. Sure, that person can come overnight. Sure, that person can move in. Yes, we can have that meeting there. Why? Well, because it's not mine. It's just entrusted to me for the service of my Lord. And if that's our attitude, then we're experiencing a taste of what is described here. And that is, it says, no one claimed any of his possessions was his own, but they shared everything they had. Now what that means is, too, not that they no longer had any possessions. They still had possessions, but they didn't claim them as their own. It's an attitude toward possessions, not an absence of possessions. Now, if I really believe that those things are not to be held on to and idolized, it doesn't mean I don't take care of them. If I really regard them as belonging to the Lord and being for His purpose and His use, then I have all the more responsibility to take care of my stuff. But I'm to take care of it for the glory of God.
Hi, this is Jim Wood. I'm very grateful for the privilege of teaching God's Word now for over 40 years. I've seen firsthand the power of the gospel changing lives for eternity. My wife and I have been blessed with 7 children, 4 of them adopted. Each one is unique, but all of them are ours. In our travels to other countries, we've seen again and again that the human heart is the same everywhere. And everywhere we go, Jesus is the only one who can save. I hope these broadcasts are an encouragement to you, and I wonder if you'd take a moment to encourage us. I want to ask you to do three things. First of all, please visit our website, pastorwood.org, to learn more about our work. Second, please pray for us that we'll remain faithful and that God will continue to use us to spread His word around the world. And finally, if the Lord prompts you to do so, please support us financially. We're depending on our listeners to stand with us, and we're praying for God to bless you.
We hope you are blessed by Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. We would like to get to know you better and hope you will take a short survey at pastorwood.org. It will only take a minute or two. Every week, we will draw a few names from those listeners who take this survey. They will be offered a free book of their choosing that is listed at pastorwood.org. We truly hope all our listeners will take this survey. Please visit our website at pastorwood.org and take our survey today.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is and He's holding out His hand.
No one claimed that any of his possessions was his own, but they shared everything they had. And with great power, the apostles continued to testify to what? To the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. We said when we started the book of Acts, the thing you're going to see over and over and over and over is the emphasis on the kingdom of God, and that is demonstrated and established by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus conquered death. He is Lord. And He's alive right now. So the church continued to do what Jesus had been doing. And there were no needy persons among them. Much grace was upon them all. From time to time, it wasn't daily, it wasn't constant, it wasn't all gotten done at once. From time to time, those who owned lands or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, and had a congregational meeting to vote on the budget. I guess that's not what it says. It says, put it at the apostles' feet. And they put it in a safe and saved it up. And nope. It was distributed to anyone as he had need. But notice that phrase too. As he had need. Read the apostles' teaching concerning who qualifies to receive support as a widow, and you find that not everybody qualified. This was shared with those who were part of the family and had need. And as a result, nobody was in need. Doesn't mean they didn't have needs from time to time. It means nobody was stuck in a position of poverty. They were lifted out of that by their brothers and sisters saying, well, sure, I'll be glad to meet that need. And then they give an example. Joseph called Barnabas, sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. But it's followed in chapter 5 with a bad example. And the bad example is a couple named Ananias and Sapphira. For almost 2,000 years, the names Ananias and Sapphira have been famous for their sin and death. How'd you like to be remembered like that? I mean, that's horrible, isn't it? What did they do that was so horrible? They held back part of the proceeds of the sale of their property and only gave part of the proceeds to the church, and that was their sin. Nope. Nope. That was not their sin. Their sin was they pretended that they were surrendering all. So I surrender all to you. Well, you better mean that. Because if we just sing it, we're not thinking about what we're saying. We're just trying to go along. Everybody else is singing it. I better too. I better pretend. But the fact of the matter is we are so used to saying things and doing things that are just part of the culture. We say what we're supposed to say. Fine. Fine. Well, it's great to have that attitude, but let me tell you something. When we come to the church, it ought to be a place where we can be honest. It ought to be a place where we can share what's going on. We need to be in relationship with each other that's grounded in truth. And so phoniness does not belong in church. And the fact that there is so much phoniness and pretense in American evangelicalism does not bring glory to God. It does not enhance our witness. It doesn't make people more eager to follow Jesus because we are so good at pretending. And I want you to know that since I've put my faith in Jesus Christ, now every day is a good day. I wake up in the morning just saying, praise the Lord, it's another opportunity to serve God. I've had mornings like that, but not always. I'm not interested in pretending because it doesn't help anybody except the devil. Okay? He's a liar and the father of lies, so let's the rest of us follow the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. So, Ananias and Sapphira sold a piece of property, and with his wife's full knowledge, Ananias kept back part of the money for himself, but brought the rest and put it at the apostles' feet. And Peter said to him, Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit? Now, what does that mean? To lie to the leadership of the church was to lie to God. Why? Because God inhabits his people. God is going to speak to Saul of Tarsus as he is on his way down the road to persecute Christians. And the question he will be asked is, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord? Saul will reply, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. What was being done to the believers was being done to Jesus. The miracles that were being done through the believers were being done by Jesus. It was Jesus in both cases. So when Ananias and Sapphira come to the church and lie, they are failing to recognize the body of the Lord. We have got to recognize the supernatural reality that it is Christ in you that is the hope of glory. And if we try to lie to one another, we are lying to the Holy Spirit. And then look at verse 4. Didn't it belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? Peter's saying, you didn't have to do this. We didn't issue an edict that everybody's got to go sell their property. No. Mm-mm. You can hang on to it. You can be a follower of Jesus Christ and not sell your property. It's okay. And if you do sell your property, you don't have to give us the money. That's not required. It was up to you. What is not okay is pretending that you're surrendering everything when in fact you're holding back some of it. Hypocrisy, lies, that is what is deadly. And so Ananias is struck dead. Now how did Peter know? Because God knew, and God revealed it to Peter. God knows everything. He knows it all. I might be able to fool you, you might be able to fool me, but none of us is going to fool God. And we'd better develop the fear of the Lord. So, he fell down dead. You have not lied to men, but to God, Peter told him. When Ananias heard this, he fell down and died. And everybody said, praise the Lord. No, great fear seized all who heard what had happened. Not only those who were there, but the people who heard about it. They were terrified. Why would you be terrified? Because this affects all of us. We all have a tendency to try and put our best foot forward. We're all concerned about appearances. We all have a capacity to be less than honest. And when they heard about what had happened and that the basis of it was not that these people had broken into the church and stolen a bunch of stuff, it was that they pretended to be more generous and more zealous than they were. When they heard that, they were terrified. And the young men came forward and wrapped up his body and carried him out and buried him. And then Sapphira walks in. And Peter asks her a pointed question that you wonder if she blushed when he asked. About 3 hours later, his wife came in not knowing what had happened, and Peter asked her, tell me, is this the price you and Ananias got for the land? Well, like a good submissive wife, she was not going to give away the secret. Yes, she said, that is the price. I picture her with a southern accent. And Peter said to her, how could you agree to test the Spirit of the Lord? Look, the feet of the men who buried your husband are at the door, and they'll carry you out also. At that moment, she fell down at his feet and died. Now, please understand, the church did not kill her. God takes care of this stuff. And so this woman fell down dead. And the young men, they came in and found her dead. Just for a moment, picture yourself as one of the young men. Okay? You've just buried a guy. That's not all that easy. They couldn't do it right outside where they were meeting. They had to do it somewhere else. So they've gone a little distance. They've put the man in the ground, had to dig a hole. They've buried him. They've covered it up. And they get back. And when they walk back in, here's another one. So they picked her up and carried her out and buried her next to him. But if I was them, I might not want to go back to the meeting. You know? It's like, how many more? Right? But there was great fear. And there was great glory for God. Great power. Great healings. People delivered from demons and diseases, and evidence all around that Jesus Christ really did come back from the dead and was alive and living through his people. Such miracles were happening that they were held in high regard by everybody, but the people who weren't part of the group didn't want to come. No one else dared join them, even though they were highly regarded by the people. Nevertheless, more and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added to their number. I believe that this passage is one of the passages that needs to inform the whole discussion about seeker-friendly services. Well, if we are serious about the Lord's work, we must be serious about reaching people who are not converted yet, but just seeking. Yeah. I totally agree with that. But I also believe the Bible makes it very clear that if you seek, you will find. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you can have joy, inexpressible and full of glory, but you're not going to feel good all the time. So don't pretend. And don't try and give people the impression that, well, you wouldn't have these problems if you were a Christian. Okay? I mean, if you would just turn your life over to the Lord, everything would smooth out. No. Let me just tell you, it's not about feeling good. It's not about feeling bad. It's about Jesus. He's what we need. And so I plead with people to trust in him. And I find that some people can hear the gospel over and over and over and over, and it just doesn't penetrate at all until one day, boom, the light comes on, and it's evident that God has changed their heart. And they say, I never understood this before, But now I see. And they give expression to their faith in Jesus Christ. And they recognize that they've sinned and that they deserve hell and that their only hope is Jesus, but that He's all they need. That is the work of God. And we need to have services where people can hear the gospel in a believable way and be loved by folks who are not phony and who are not self-absorbed. And if we can do that, you know what God will do? God will continue to add new folks as we walk in obedience to Him. But it's not about marketing. And it's not about trying to stay with the culture. It's about worshiping Jesus. Because God inhabits the praises of His people. And if we want to honor Him, then we need to focus on doing what He says. And you know what? God's power will be manifested, and more men and women will believe in the Lord and be added to the number.
Abiding in Christ is paid for by the generous donations of listeners like you. We are grateful for gifts of any amount. You can make a donation online at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org. Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood.
Did you know that along with being an excellent Bible teacher, Pastor Wood has authored over a dozen books? We'd like to encourage you to visit pastorwood.org for resources and books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife Susan. You can also listen to or download teachings by Pastor Wood 24/7. Please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.